What a beautiful thing to be here together in worship on this Christmas morning. I can't think of anything more wonderful. I absolutely love when Christmas is on a Sunday and we can come together as a family of God to celebrate who He is to us. From Colossians chapters 1 and 2, may you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to His holy people who live in the light, for He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and has transported us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He purchased our freedom with His blood and has forgiven all our sins. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through Him, God created everything. In the heavenly realms and on the earth, He made the things we can see, He made the things we cannot see, such as thrones and kingdoms and rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through Him and for Him. He existed before anything else, and He holds all creation together. God, in all His fullness, was pleased to live in Jesus Christ. And through Him, God reconciled everything to Himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. And this includes you and me. We were once far away from God. We were His enemies, separated from Him by our evil thoughts and actions. Yet now He has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus. And this is the mystery. Christ lives in you. And this gives us assurance that we may share in His glory. For in Christ, all the fullness of God lives in a human body. And we are complete. That means we fulfill all of God's dreams that He ever had for each of us. We are complete through our union with Him by faith. And He rules over everything in our lives. Everything. That is the word of God from Colossians 1 and 2. And so we hear this most wondrous story. Wasn't that classic? That story Phil told, he used to do that for our children every year. It was great to see it again. It's been a while. God, who in His very nature, His essence, who He is loving kindness. That's who He is. He veiled His majesty, He covered it. The creator of the heavens, the very one who holds all the stars in His hands, the actual word that spoke everything into being. He spoke the mountains and the seas, all the animals and the trees, He made them. He humbles Himself into the smallest tiny little thing, an unborn baby. That very word who created the whole universe became silent. What was He doing? What was God up to? He's sending His mercy. He loves to send His mercy to us. Jesus Christ is the very mercy of God. He is God Himself, and He breaks into our realm. The ultimate glory and the splendor of the unseen world, it's very real, you just can't see it. It breaks into the created world. And so this beautiful morning, we are feasting and we are celebrating that mercy is born. Undeserved loving kindness has invaded our darkness. He hates our darkness. And He comes in with light that cannot be overcome. And he rescues us. God, the Son, became a human child. He took on our human nature so that we could become God's child and take on his holy nature. That's the beautiful message of Christmas. And it's a gift. It's a free gift from him. He scooped us into himself so that he could give us everything that he is. Emmanuel, God is with us. His nature, his behavior is mercy. His mercy is tender. If you were here last night, you heard a beautiful sermon by Pastor Aaron about God's tender mercy, how he sees us. He sees that we're pitiful, we're pathetic. We are in complete distress. We can't do anything about our despair and our despicable lives. We can't do anything about it. But he can. He sees us. And he not only sees us, he becomes us. He becomes our human condition. And he wraps himself up in it. And he knows exactly what it's like to be us by personal experience. He knows what it's like to be you and all the things you're going through. He takes us into himself. His mercy is tender and his mercy is fierce. Compassion is the name that God chooses to describe himself. And compassion is anything but weak. It is very, very strong. And with his loving compassion, he looks at our death and he consumes it. He won't have it. He consumes our death in his life. And he looks at our sin, and he consumes that. Our need is so great. It's so vast. We can be so vile. And our state is so grim. I don't know if any of you have a memory of this. I know we have some small children in this room. I remember when I was probably 4, 5, or 6 years old, I remember having a heart that was so selfish. I was cruel. I was unloving. And my heart was dark. I was a small child. And I'm so grateful for our children's ministry here that knows that children have this darkness in their hearts and need to be set free. No one told me that Jesus could come into my heart and set me free. It was a frightening, scary thing as a 6-year-old child to know that I was full of something I could do nothing about, and I needed Jesus. And we are all in that state of being. Does God know everything? Does he know everything? Yes, he does. He knows everything. He knows the depth, the height, the breadth of our sin. He knows how broad it is and that it's so deep that it has to be healed. And the only way that God could heal this depth of our sin was to become a human and to become our very salvation. Salvation means healing. And so he takes our human problem, our predicament, and life and holiness himself becomes human so that he can recreate it and renew it and restore it. He comes, so he takes the widest extremes of our human predicament and he joins it with the widest extreme of holy love in a little baby for our salvation. He takes all that you are, all that you're carrying, all that you're struggling with, and he can heal it and restore and renew. He comes in righteousness and love. He comes in truth and mercy. And he cleanses with fire in order to make us pure vessels for his presence in the world. So he consumes our death and our sin, but he can also consume our self. I don't know if your family has funny Christmas things that you do. Our family has kind of weird gifts that we give to each other. The kids opened their Christmas stockings this morning, and it was full of some of our weird things that we do. Deodorant, Christmas present, toothpaste, dental floss, things you really need. And Seth and I were talking one day about gotta make sure you get the right kind of deodorant, because when you're super stressed, your body odor just is out of control. And I don't know if any of you have the bondage of the body odor problem, but our stain of our sin is so deep that there's nothing that you can apply on the outside that's going to help that body odor. It's called flesh. In the Bible, flesh is living your own life without the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And I thought about that. I didn't tell Seth about it, but I thought, oh my word, when I am stressed, my flesh odor runs rampant, and I can become a person who just fills the space with self. I don't know if any of you are like that. Some of you fill the space when you enter in, you smell beautiful, you smell lovely. I love to walk past some women, they just smell amazing, they have the most gorgeous perfume. Some of us fill the space with self, and Jesus wants to cleanse us from that. We can fill the room with our stress and anxiety. We can fill the room with our grumbling and our critical attitude, our negativity just floods the space. We can enter a room and we're just full of passive aggression. We won't make eye contact. We don't talk to anybody. We do the silent treatment. We do the shunning. That's a stench of self, and it can just fill a space. Or we can just be consumed with ourselves. We walk in a room and we are just consumed with how we're treated. Am I being appreciated? Am I the center of attention? What's everybody thinking about me? We could just suck all the air right out of the room. And Jesus' mercy comes with a fierce kind of cleansing, where he can join himself to our nature and put to death that self that can flood any space. We can become a space that someone else might enter into, where they experience the sweet-smelling fragrance of Jesus. Dr. Helen Rosevear was one of the most acute experiences I ever had of a person so filled with Jesus that when I was in her presence, I was just flooded with accepting, abandoned, and unreserved love. Would you like to become a person like that? Marcy, you're that kind of person to me. Frankly, I know you are to everybody in this room. Just unreserved love. And I want to be the kind of person that is just spreads undeserved mercy. And Jesus can make us that. He can make us a person who's safe. When everyone comes into our purview, they are safe. Self-giving with no hooks and no expectations in return. Mercy can do that. Mercy is tender, mercy is fierce, and mercy recreates. The one who is mercy, who is love, who is our refuge, he is our creator. He has come from heaven, and he unites himself to our human condition forever and ever. And he doesn't just apply an external deodorizer or a deselferant. He pours into us his very life through the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that all the promises of God are available to us. They can pour into our life. I love 2 Peter, verses 3 and 4 of chapter 1. Through knowing the Lord Jesus better and better, he gives us everything we need for life and for godliness. He has called us to receive his own glory and goodness. Through his promises, we can participate in the divine nature. That's huge. and we can escape the decadence of our age caused by evil desires. So our Creator comes from outside who we are, and he comes to breathe into our dust clod of life and to de-selfarize and to recreate his image in us. He's more than just our example. He brought our vileness right into himself, and he fully intends to bring his holy, loving life right into us. The thing is, mercy is tender, mercy is fierce, mercy will recreate, and he knocks. He knocks. He needs our permission. He requires our choice to receive him today. Just like Mary, God came to her and he asked her if she would be a place where he could dwell, where he could make his home. And he comes and he says, "Can I come and pitch my tent in your life?" He says, "It's not going to be easy. It was not easy for Mary. People are going to be cruel. They're going to reject you if you choose to live by his word and walk in his ways." Mary really had it rough. And he asks us the same question. And what did Mary reply? Did she say, "Oh, no, I really want to be popular. I really want to be successful"? She said, "Yes." She said, "Let it happen to me according to your word." Marcy sang it. God is here. Mercy is here. And he comes to every one of us. And he asks, "Larry, Seth, Cole, Reagan, will you be the dwelling place of God? Will you, like Mary, be the door through which the Eternal One can have access to enter into someone else's closed, dark world? You can become the door for someone else to meet Jesus. But you must completely surrender every single part of your being to God the Son, the living Word, the Creator, the one who is merciful, the one who will recreate you into his image once again." The Bible says he will write his image on our heart. He can recreate with a fierce, strong love, and he will birth his very life into your being, into my being. His life, his love, his mercy, his kindness, his patience, his fragrance will infuse every space you walk into and every person who walks into the space of our lives. Luke 1 says, "His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." We have many generations in this room. We in this room are the people who fear him. We are in awe of him. We are the generation who humbles ourselves in reverence before him. And we are the ones who are embraced right into his merciful heart. His mercy satisfies. His mercy grants the desires of our hearts. He gives purpose to our lives. He allows us to be able to receive love. And he allows us to be able to give love to the world. And that's the good news. So let's stand together and let's worship and adore him as we sing our final hymn. What is the number? 127.